Melchizedek is not an issue to the Jewish world. And that's the reason is because of number one. They don't relate it to, at all, in any way, shape, or form, to the book of Hebrews. Because they don't have a Messiah as we would have today. So the controversy or understanding or trying to understand who Melchizedek was, which we were in the book of Genesis. And I'll read it here, Genesis 14th chapter, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Shalom, brought forth bread and wine, and the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Now, this is the first time the name shows up. There's an awful lot of, if you ever go on and do some research, they have an awful lot of supposed answers to Melchizedek. I'm going to write a number up here. What is 365?
Days of the year.
The year of what? What is that year? Year of what?
Didn't say anything.
Last week I said it was, or 2 weeks ago I said it was, but I had done my research, and Daniel's done 365 days after the flood, from the day of the flood on. What Daniel estimated quickly was very quick, but I went through four other sizes, three other ways, and came out with the same answer over and over again. Now, why is 365 years important? That's the year what happened? Abraham entered the promised land. That was the year Abraham entered into the land of Canaan. Right? What it says, paralleling, he was 75 years old. Right? So, we're talking from year one to here. How many people do you think were on the face of the earth with only six people to begin with to repopulate? Billions?
No.
Maybe a few hundred thousand, maybe pushing it heavy. Right. So I have to realize there are not an awful lot of human beings that are on the face of this earth. What happened also during this period of time between year one and year 365?
Nimrod.
Okay, Nimrod, but something very drastically happened. God came up with a secret weapon. The secret weapon was languages, right? Okay. Now, what year was that? Year 338. Only 330 years from the flood did the language change. And it cost the lives of two patriots. All right? So you got to kind of keep that in mind. Quote, it's not important. Well, there is a point because, you know, what I want to try to address today, I think very heavily when I go and research the Hebrew words. And what we have here about Melchizedek is basically written in the book of Hebrews, which is written in Greek, which came from what translation? Septuagint. All right. So we kind of keep those things in mind. Because I have some very interesting things that I have learned I would like to share with you. I want to try to get this wrapped up as fast as I can. I know that Jeff has an awful lot to say. So I'm going to try to wrap this thing up as fast as I can. First of all, there is a belief system. Even within the Christian scholarly work, all right, that Melchizedek was a human being, and that he was a high priest, and where he was high priest was that in the city of Shalom, which later became known as Jerusalem, or Jerusalem. Right? Now, the reason why they back that up, I wanted to tell you why they back, because they said that this, now, they're not saying now that he is a descendant of somebody. We have to say that he is the beginning of a descendant. And book of Judges, the book of Joshua clarifies that he really had children, this particular king. And one of the names of those kings is Adonai Zadok. But that Adonai Zadok says there in Joshua, the 10th chapter, you don't have to turn there, and it begins with verse 1, that particular king went to war against whom? Went to war against Gibeon. And so Gibeon had to have who come to his aid? To defeat him. Joshua. Joshua had, remember Daniel went through the story? About the book of Judges? Joshua and the book of Judges? Well, the reason why they're saying this and they're saying it is because his last is Adonai Zadok. Well, Melecha Zadok. Oh, he must be a descendant of them. And so therefore they read it that, okay. Now, in some Jewish thoughts, which have been influenced, by the way, by Christian scholars, is this. Yes, his name was Melech Zadok, meaning a king that is righteous. Just as Balaam was a prophet to the heathen, so Melech was a righteous man to the Canaanites. He was a king of the Canaanites because he lived where? Oh, the scripture doesn't show that. Why is what I'm telling these things? We have to kind of eliminate all of the concepts and beliefs first out of the picture because there's nothing in scripture to back it up. There's a very fascinating thing, which I want to read today, about the Dead Sea Scrolls, which mention Melchizedek. And the reason why I want to tell you is, and I'll read it today, is because it helps you to begin to think differently. I hope, anyway. I'm not going to necessarily convince you one way or the other, but I do want you to know that I think it's very important that we really pay attention to what's going on. Now, Abraham was 75 years old in that year. Right? That's when he left. Now, he went to war with some kings. Right? And then he met this individual called Melchizedek. Right? The next chapter tells you Abraham was 85 years old when the war took place. Right? Now, we have to ask ourselves some questions. There are people who believe, it's a Jewish teaching, there's nothing biblical about it, that Melchizedek was no other than Shem. All right? Now, I have a little question about this. One of the reasons why they think it was Shem is because, let me ask you a question. Everyone in this room, just think about the question. Don't answer it. Just think about the question. Do you know who your great, 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 great grandfather is?
No.
Do you think that Noah knew? I mean, did you think Abraham knew? Why would he not know? They're both alive. They're both living. They're full of their life. They know each other. You can't get out of it. Yeah, I know my great, 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 eighth one removed. Yeah, I know him. Why wouldn't you know him? He lived in the very spot where, before he moved, in the land of Ur, where Shem lived. All right? Now, I find it's very fascinating that the book of Hebrews says something very clear. That Melchizedek had neither father nor mother. Now, I ask you a question. Was the author of Hebrews really dumb? They couldn't figure out One of the most important men in the history of mankind was Melchizedek, and he was Shem. You think he would have left that out? I'm sorry. The author of Hebrews is not a liar. And so I have to ask yourself a question. Then who is Melchizedek? Very interesting name. And very interesting thing. First of all, it's called righteousness, right? Melech is king or ruler or judge, however you want to translate it. And the other one is righteousness. Now, what does Scripture say about righteousness? What does the Scripture say about righteousness?
It says no man is righteous.
None. No man is righteous. Not a what? Wait a minute. We have Melech righteousness. Was he righteous or was he unrighteous? Was he a sinner? Why did Abram have such awesome respect for him? Because he was just like Abram, a sinner, right? Oh, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- I don't think so. The name is very important. And why is it important? It's because it tells us something. What happens, both in the basically the Christian scholars are wanting to, for some reason, I'm talking scholarly work, men who really do scholarly work, do not want, for some reason, to acknowledge that Melchizedek was anything else except a flesh and blood human being. And the reason why they have to have a flesh and blood human being is because everybody has to have a mom. Everybody has to have a dad. It's impossible for this person not to have one. Now, how old was this person? Doesn't say. You know why? There is no beginning of days, and there's no ending of days. Why did the author of Hebrews say that? Was he didn't know? Was he kind of ignorant? Did he say because, oh, well, I don't know when he was born. I don't know when he died. The book of Genesis is extremely, we have gone through it so far, haven't we? It's extremely detailed about the birth of one and the birth of another, the death of this one, the death of this one. And one of the most important people in the history of the Genesis is Melchizedek. And guess what? We have no knowledge of who he is. He had no mom, no dad. No one knew he was born. No one knew he died. No one knew anything about him. They don't know how long he lived. Look, I got the age of these people. Shem lived till 602 years of age. It's a long time to live. Right? And his son, Arphaxad, lived 438 years. Shem outlived him. 438 years. How old is our country?
200.
I'll live the life of our country, hasn't he? All right. And Shelah, who was his Shem's great grandson, lived 433 years. It's a long time, isn't it? All right. And then his great 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 grandson lived to 464 there. And apparently, he looks like he might have outlived Shem. That is, Shem died before he died. Okay, so I get a picture here. So we have to look at this thing and says, well, who is Melchizedek? Well, what does the name mean? Who was adjusted to? Who was the first person who was called that? If there is none that is sinned. All right. If there's none righteous, if there's none righteous at all, who was Melchizedek? Why is he called a leader, a king? And what was his book of Hebrews says that Yahshua or Jesus has a certain sepulcher. What is a sepulcher? It's a sign. It's like a badge. It's like something you have possession of. You know his sepulcher is? It's called righteousness. That's what his sepulcher is. Book of Hebrews tells you that. Now, what was the sepulcher of this particular person during Abraham's time? Huh?
So he doesn't have a physical one, so it would have to be righteousness.
Have to be a spiritual one. Righteousness. He also had something else. He's called the King of what? Shalom. King of Peace. Ah, now, what was Yahshua called? The Prince of Peace. Oh, we have two different people. Is Melchizedek a priest forever? And Jesus or Joshua is a priest forever? We got two different priests that are forever? Both two different orders? We have two different orders of priesthood here? We have a priesthood of Melchizedek and the priesthood then of Yahshua? What do we have? Okay. You can't have two. We can't have a priest of Aaronic priesthood anymore, can we? That's gone. It will not return. Why? Why would you have Aaronic priesthood? What was the object of Aaronic priesthood? Sorry, what?
Service in the temple.
Sorry, what?
Service in the temple.
Okay. What was the... Excuse me?
To provide the service of the high priest.
What's a high priest supposed to do?
To make intercession for the people.
And give them to whom?
God.
He gives the gifts. Yeah. That's the object of the high priest. Okay? So, now we come down here. That since Yahshua is now our high priest, what is he giving? What is he giving? Let's be more specific. His sepulcher he's giving. What is his sepulcher?
Righteousness.
Okay. And what else is he giving?
Peace.
Shalom. So when you have an intercessor, in this case it's Yahshua, have an intercessor, what's he taken to his father? He takes it to his father righteousness. He takes his father shalom. And as long as you have Yahshua in your world, your life, your thinking, your brain, you become, you have something to give. And that is righteousness, which is not yours. It was given to you. And so, you know, you don't ever take something to the creator of heaven and earth, the Father, that is unclean. Do you think that Yahshua was taking to the creator of heaven and earth your sins? Your iniquities? Your transgressions? No, he's not. Why are you taking it to him for? That's not what he wants to see. Nor does he want to present. All right? You understand what I'm saying so far? Okay. Now, Malachi. Very fascinating. I want you to Malachi, the fourth chapter. Very fascinating terminology here that's being used. By the way, what does Malachi mean?
My king.
I'm sorry, what?
My king.
Malachi, my king. Every time it ends with an I or IE, it's my Adonai. What does everybody say in English? My Lord. Not your Lord, not someone else's Lord, but my Lord. So it's Malachi, or Malachi, in this case, because it ends in a yod, that's not a hard sound, C-H, then it means that my king. But very fascinating. Here, the fourth chapter, Malachi said something. He said what? He said that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Would you spell that word?
Wings? Which word?
Have you looked it up?
Well, I know wings refers to Zizi.
Why did he not use the word S-O-N? Why did he use the word which is translated meaning S-U-N? Why didn't he use that word? It sounds odd, right? Son of S-U-N of righteousness. Why would he use that word for? Why would he use the other word for? What do you think Malachi is saying? Okay, we have righteousness there, right? Righteousness, right? What is righteousness?
Justice.
Sorry, what?
Justice.
Yes. What's the picture of the sun supposed to do?
Shed light.
Bring forth light. That's what it said at the very beginning, right? A light to shine in the daytime and to make it bright. Now, we know this is referring to whom?
Messiah.
Yeah. Have you ever thought the Messiah as being the sun? Or have you thought about the Messiah being the moon? All right. So now we know healing is associated with righteousness, right? And we're going to have the sun as a picture of something and a picture of righteousness. When the daylight comes, what did Yahshua say? While it is day, work. You can see what you're doing. When it's Hoshech, you can't. Right?
Darkness.
Now, it's a little bit of light show up through the night by a moon, which sometimes is not there. And then it goes to the point where it's so bright you can turn your lights out and know exactly where you're going because it's bright enough for you to go. But we know one thing about the moon. Where does the moon get its light?
From the sun.
All right, so we have here, interesting, with Malachi here now, the term son, S-O-N, would have suggested that Jesus was in some way a son of a, or a descendant of Melchizedek. Why would you think that? If he said son, S-O-N, of righteousness, where would your mind travel? To Melchizedek. It would travel to Melchizedek. Why would it travel to Melchizedek?
Because he was the king of righteousness.
King of righteousness. Oh, then Yeshua's father is Melchizedek. That doesn't work, does it?
No.
All right. It doesn't work. So what I'm saying, I'm eliminating some of these concepts and theories that we had to do some thinking in our head, and all of a sudden we're seeing something different here. Why Malachi had to use, or did use, or was prophesied to use the word S-U-N in English, as we translate it here, rather than a son. Yes?
It can't be the Father, because no, Messiah said nobody has seen the Father.
All right. Every human being, including Adam and Daniel, Elijah, Job, think of the most famous men, including Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. How many of them met up to, or actually were inherited with, righteousness? Not one of them. They all had to learn from the living creator, heaven and earth, what it's all about. Noah had to learn. Abram had to learn.
Moses
had to learn. Which one didn't have to learn? Why did Abram look at Melchizedek? And then he said, I have raised my hands to Elohim. You remember he said that? Who was he telling to when he said that? The king of...
Righteousness.
King of what?
Righteousness.
Sodom. Go to the king of Sodom. What was the king Sodom's name? If you don't remember that, what did it mean? The evil one. All right. The evil one. All right. So after he's done this, a dedication, he's given a tithe unto Melchizedek. In a sense, that's what when Abram said, I raised my hands to the Elohim, the El Elyon. He gave unto El Elyon. Yes.
When Abram. The three angels.
Oh, yeah. Later. Yes.
For Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
What Eli said, that Yeshua said, no man has seen the Father.
Correct. So what do you see?
It had to have been him.
It wasn't the Father.
No, it had to be Yeshua.
It couldn't have, nor could it have been Shem, I'll tell you the honest truth, because Shem didn't have that much righteousness in him. Shem was like any other human being. He had to learn how and what righteousness was. All right? Remember, he is also a sinner like you and I. That is, Shem was. He wasn't free from sin. Someone had to die for him in order for him to be able to have any kind of salvation whatsoever. All right? Keep that apart in mind. Now, we know that from Scripture that Jesus, or Yahshua, is called the Son of God. Is Melchizedek called the Son of God? No. Why? He was not flesh and blood. And what? He was still a spirit being. Now, we think, oh, he could have been a spirit being. But then, look, I'll ask you a question. We'll go on farther to Abraham. We're going to find out that he did talk to spirit beings. One of the spirit beings was nameless Yahweh. Another spirit being, what was the name of the spirit being that Joshua talked to?
The captain
of the army of God. Yeah. Now, where's his? He had no beginning days, end days either. But the Bible did refer to him as being the righteous one. And we're talking about King of Righteousness, which is important to know. All the Gabriel, Michael, and all the other angels that are working with God, they're not sinners like you and I. They're just created in a different world than you and I are created into. That's all I can say about that. But you know, it's interesting that Apostle Paul clearly says that, well, just talking about Hebrew now, is that Melchizedek is kind of like the Most High, but not really. He was the priest of the Most High. He wasn't the Most High. He wasn't El Elyon. He was just the priest of El Elyon. Who's El Elyon then? It must be Dad. It must be the Father, right? Wasn't called then. Why wasn't he called the Father back then?
Because
he wasn't. He wasn't one. He wasn't a child. He begot somebody. And when he begotten somebody, that person became his son. Now, Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, I have told them your name, O Holy Father. Guess what his name is? Father. Abba. Dad. That's what he wants to be called by. Yes, he is the creator of heaven and earth, and you can use all the other kind names as you want. But just keep that part in mind. No, keep on going. See if I can't beat it up here. In Micah also, the 5th chapter, verse 2, but you, being in Bethlehem, thought you were a little among those thousands of Judah, out of you will come forth unto me, one, to be a ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from eternity. Oh my. From old, way, way back. All right. Now, let's talk about Melchizedek. If Melchizedek, let's put this assumption, is the same as Yahshua, as another name, What, by the way, what does Joshua mean?
Salvation.
Okay. Let's get that part correct. When salvation decided to do, salvation decided to do what? Change. John 10th chapter. Change from one form into another form. And became like man. Salvation became like man. And salvation died. Right? What took his place? Book of Hebrews tells you. King of righteousness took his place. Melech Shalom took his place. So Melech Shalom, in a sense, willingly gave up his incredible power to become like you and me. Willing to lose everything, including his eternal existence. Now, why we say that? A lot of people like to take, I wouldn't say a lot of people, even the Messianic world, like to take the book of Hebrews and just literally discard it as if it never existed. When you do that, a lot of dangerous things take place. In a sense, we have no evidence of anybody's faith. We have no evidence of anybody's experience. The book of Hebrews tells you, look at back and see them all. We have no idea. We would still say that we must slay an animal to justify our sins that we may have eternal salvation. But the Hebrews book says, no, you cannot get eternal salvation by slaying an animal. Can you? Book of Hebrews centered out which holiday? Which holiday is? Yom Kippurim. Right. The Day of Coverings. All right. Now, Jesus said something. Before Abraham, I was. When was he before Abraham? Well, he must have been Shem, right? Well, Shem was before Abraham, right? Is Abraham? I mean, is Shem Yahshua?
No.
Because he died. It says there he died. He can't come back alive again. He's dead. You can't connect a dead person with Yahshua. You got to connect a living person. And the author of Hebrews connects him with one that is a priest continually forever. Why is it in Hebrew that is present, Greek, present tense? Did you ever notice that? He is a priest forever. He didn't say he was a priest until Yahshua showed up in the scene. He says he is a priest continually forever, and he is like unto the Son of God. How do you separate those two words?
Is the Son of God like the Son of God?
Before Melchizedek was not the Son of God.
Right.
He was an image of the Creator of heaven and earth, but he wasn't the Son of God. Something had to change. The Melchizedek priesthood never stopped. He brought on the Aaronic priesthood for one reason. Apostle Paul tells you why. What was it? Because of transgressions.
What?
He added the priesthood, Aaronic priesthood, because of transgressions. To show and to teach the people what it's all about. And all these animals you kill is a picture of something that is totally guiltless, is paying for your death. That's the whole picture of everything. You understand that, don't you? You go to the book of Leviticus and all these certain animals, it depends about who you are. The more important you are, the greater the offering you must give. If you're not, we're real off, you don't give it to her love. You know? But you're still giving up something. That. In order that you may have. Be forgiven. But doesn't deliver you from the devil, does it? Okay. I'm going to get past some of these notes. I don't want to get rather. I've had someone note this thing. Melchizedek has an indestructible life and abides a priest perpetually. It also says that Melchizedek was made in the image or likeness of the Son of God. Book of Hebrews, right? I mean, I don't want to go with the book of Hebrews. You guys can read it. It's very heavy. It starts at chapter 5 and all the way to the end of chapter 7. It's quite an in-depth study. I don't want to go with it. Now I've got to read something to you. You see this book? What's called?
The Dead Sea Scrolls.
The Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, they have been able to really come through some very fascinating things. And one of those scrolls talks about Melchizedek. We have a handicap. We're looking back 2,000 years. Now, why didn't, when the Hebrews start writing about Melchizedek, he didn't have to explain the unknown factor. He didn't have to explain to these people that Melchizedek had no father, no mother. They didn't have to explain it to them all. They knew it. How come they knew it? This is from the Dead Sea Scroll. Now, concerning what Scripture says, this is the year of Jubilee. You shall return, every one of you, to your property. And that is also written, and this is a matter of the remission. Every creditor shall remit and claim, shall remit the claim that is held against a neighbor. Not extracting it for a neighbor who is a member of the community, because Elohim's remission has been proclaimed. Okay. The interpretation of this is there right now, is that it appears to be last days and concerning the captives, just as Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, verse 1, to proclaim the Jubilee to the captives. It's Isaiah 61, verse 1. All right, let's continue on. Just as, and from the inheritance of Melchizedek, for Melchizedek, who will return them to what is rightfully theirs. He, Melchizedek, will proclaim to them the Jubilee, thereby releasing them from the debt of their sins. That's the Dead Sea Scroll. Now, so we're saying, when Apostle Paul wrote that in Hebrews, he wasn't talking to a bunch of, They knew what it represented. They knew that Melchizedek was going to come and do something. They knew Melchizedek was going to come and do something. What was he going to do? He is going to do what? He's going to thereby, on the year of Jubilee, very, very, very important note, that's the Jubilee, which is what day?
The year of release.
What day of the year?
Oh.
Yom Kippur, right? Day of Atonement. He will come and he will do what? Release them from the debt of all of their sins. He shall proclaim this decree. And the first week of the Jubilee period that follows the ninth Jubilee, well, that's nothing else we have to go into later, not today. Then the Day of Atonement shall follow after the 10th Jubilee period, when he shall atone for all the sons of light. And the people who are presented to Melchizedek. That's who Melchizedek was. That's who they knew he was. Now, these are not a bunch of heathens that wrote that. So all the rumors and all the talks to try to prove that Melchrom was Shem makes no sense. And that, how could you remember your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great? Who knows that one? Well, they did, because they all lived at the same time. They all lived at the same time. And Shem outlived Abraham. Abraham died before Shem did. All right, let's keep on going. For this is the time of the decree, for the year of Melchizedek's favor. What did I say favor was? We call it grace, right? And the New Testament is called grace. That word really badly been moved from ancient 1611 English. Sorry to say, but ancient 1611 English does refer to grace as we think it's a substitution for ignoring the law. It meant back in 1611, favor. I have favor toward you. Why? Because I choose to do so. I just choose to do so. You can have, each one of you have had children. And one time the children have done something that is just to you. Do you show disfavor by killing them? Or do you show mercy and don't kill them? When you show mercy by not killing them, you have favor toward that child. Right? You've given grace to that child. All right, I'm almost finished. I just want to talk about the year of Jubilee's favor. I mean, not Jubilee. Melchizedek's favor, which is the year of Jubilee. And by his might, he will judge God's or Elohim's holy ones and so establish a righteous kingdom. It is written about him in the sons of David. A godlike or Elohim-like being has taken his place in the council of Elohim. In the midst of the divine beings, he holds judgment. Psalms 81, verse 1. Reason why I'm raising my voice, after many, many, many years of going through this, not just here, but a lot of people, who want to not look at what scriptures, they want to think the scriptures is lying to them because they don't like it. I don't know why, but they just don't like it. Because see, if Melchizedek had no father and no mother, that must mean we have two Yeshuas. We have two people who save our lives. No, there's only one. You remember it says here in Psalms 110? Today I begot you as my son, and you'll be a priest forever after the order or manner of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Now he is our high priest, right? He's not an Aaronic high priest. He's a holy priest. Right? There's a different, entirely different things have to be presented to the creator of heaven and earth compared to what the Aaronic priesthood had to present to, for all practical purposes, Yahweh. Different picture. But it has a parallel, doesn't it? What was the picture the Aaronic priesthood had to do? To give gifts unto God and present the sacrifices the people wanted. Yes?
He cannot be the son. He cannot be an Aaronic priest. He's not the son of Aaron.
Neither is Melchizedek. He had no father, no mother.
Right.
By the way, did Jesus have a father, earthly father? No. Absolutely not. He had a motherly one, but that was it. What's the genealogy of Mary?
Line of David.
Which part of line of David? It was the line of David where it's the least important son. David had another son by the name of Nahum. Well, see, remember Saul. Solomon, right. And that line goes all the way straight to what man? Joseph. Okay, the image is physical, but the hidden one was through Mary. Right? To an unknown, unimportant, insignificant word or two mentioned about him. Isn't it funny? So we have to pay attention to the small details. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Creator is what we live by. Don't go by anybody's interpretation. Right? I hope this has been useful. I wanted to go through one more part. Now I'm almost going to quit, so I want to give him some time. The language in the book of Hebrews, which is Greek. Now, please, don't get that confused with Western mindset. Don't get that confused with Jewish Western Hellenistic mindset. Get out of that picture. The author of Hebrews was not mindset in anything except that which is above. We may not like it in Greek. Tough. God said, I'm going to speak to you in another language you don't understand and will not understand because you don't like me. You don't like Greek? Sorry. That's the language you chose. I wish we had chose English. It didn't exist. Why was Greek used?
It was the lingua franca of the day. Most of the world's...
Hebrew letters came from the Hebrew alphabet. The Greek letters came from the Hebrew alphabet. It didn't come on its own. By the way, what alphabet is there on the face of the earth that did not come from the Hebrew?
None.
All one language one time, and guess who created the rest of them? The Creator created the rest of them. It was a secret weapon. Anyway, I want to go on with this because I'm almost finished. The language that's passed, this language in Hebrew, Greek, rather, does not seem to allow for any other understanding than this. That is apparent that the Creator, Almighty God of God, in the Old Testament, despite that problems we may have with such an understanding, we have to come to believe something. Those guys who the author, which I believe very strongly is Paul, wrote to what was called the Hebrews, wrote to them, and they knew what he was talking about. The Dead Sea Scrolls, to me, is very, very clear about that. When I bought this thing, I didn't even pay attention to the... I bought this some years ago, when I first came out. I didn't pay attention to the word of Melchizedek. And this time I picked it up and said, okay, I'll read what they have to say about Melchizedek. Wow! And their mindset wasn't a mindset of, I wonder who Melchizedek is. Who is he? I wonder his dad. Where's his mommy? Do you have any children? Who's his son? That wasn't an issue. It didn't even come across their mind. So what I'm trying to do here today, I don't be I'm not trying to... What I'm trying to say is this. I'm a strong believer in what is written. I'm not a strong believer in interpretations. You want to interpret it? And you believe the interpretation is that Melchizedek was a man, and you want to believe that Melchizedek was Shem, and you want to believe that Melchizedek was the king of righteousness, and that Melchizedek, or Shem rather, his priesthood, is still continuing today. Where is Shem today? That's my question to you. And how could Abraham not know his great, 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 great grandfather was a high priest? How would he not know that? Was he the only one that knew? And everybody else didn't? No. It doesn't add up. And the author of Hebrews, let me tell you, if the author of Hebrews did any kind of study, like we do study, he would have said, oh, I know who Melchizedek's father is, it's Shem. They would have written it down. Wouldn't he have written it down? But he wasn't. Now we're only talking. It says 365 days, a year from the flood. We're talking 375 days from the flood. When Melchizedek came. I want to tell you one more thing. In the Jewish teaching, they consider, like they did Noah, that Melchizedek lost his priesthood because he didn't bless God first. He blessed Abraham first, and then he blessed. And he says he lost his kingship because their concept is the book of Judges, where one of the kings is called what? Adonizarik. They believe is one of his descendants. Look how evil he was. They lost the priesthood. Now that's a belief system. And this is what I told you. That is where I said to you, now that's not just a mistake. That's deliberate deception. Well, that's where I get angry at. There's nothing in there. And that's written in the Talmud. And I don't have much respect for the Talmud at all. It's Babylonian. Confusion. Personal opinion. I may offend some people online. I don't know. But that's my personal opinion. No other questions? Any thoughts? By the way, his name is not Melchizedek. It's Melchizedek. It's got a... Although it's got a cough there, it's got a little dot in it. And right next to it is a yod. It no longer has got the hard sound. It's got the K sound. So it's Melchizedek, as actually pronounced in Hebrew. But everybody knows about Melchizedek. I'm not going to change it because it gets confusing if I do that way.